The Supreme Court made some interesting rulings, interesting to conservative Christians and really to the whole country in the most recent term. And many people are quite upset about it. We're going to discuss this right now with Dr. Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And one thing I want to point out about Dr. Bill Donahue is he's an expert on the secular left. In fact, he wrote a couple of landmark books on the subject of the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, which has often really been on the forefront of the secularization of America. Dr. Donahue, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on all your fine work.
Oh, well, thank you. Same to you. So you recently wrote about one of the Supreme Court decisions that they made, and it was on the subject of school choice. And your opening line was, "Their heads are exploding. The secular maniacs who staff the most prominent atheist organizations are beside themselves over the Supreme Court ruling," and you went on to talk about the main case. Talk about that case.
Yes. I think reasonable-minded people, even if they're not big enthusiasts of any kind of state relationship with churches, will have to understand that what happened in Maine, it was unusual, and the Supreme Court made clearly the right decision. Going back into the 19th century, of course, school is required of every parent. It's mandatory by the government. That's important because that's upon which this case rests. You have mandatory education, yet if you live in a rural area in Maine, there are no public schools. So how to resolve it? In 1873, the government in Maine said, well, listen, you've got to go to school. That's mandated. Now you can choose whatever school you want that's closest to you. That could be a private school, could be a Catholic school, Christian school, whatever it might be. You've got to go to school. And that wasn't a problem. Nobody complained from 1873 until 1980. And then in 1980, the Attorney General in Maine said, well, wait a minute now. We shouldn't have kids going to religious schools. It's okay to go to a private non-sectarian school, but we can't have that. Well, wouldn't that be a clear-cut case of religious discrimination? That was what was before the Supreme Court of the United States, and they ruled 6-3 that, yes, you can't have it both ways. You can't mandate that parents send their kids to school when there's no school in the area, and then tell them that you can't go to a Catholic school which is nearby because we don't like the Catholic religion or whatever bigoted argument they came up with. So this is important because I think it's going to galvanize school choice activists across the country, homeschoolers and others, to know that we should not lose our rights simply because we don't want to frequent the public schools.
Well, the Constitution says, in the First Amendment specifically, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. What do you think the founders meant when they said those words, especially when you think about what the state officials were doing in Maine from 1980 until just a month ago or so?
Well, you know, that question was put to James Madison, who wrote the First Amendment. And he said, you can't have a national church like in England. We fought a war over that in part. And you can't show favoritism of one religion over another. Other than that, it's up to the states. They had state churches, Jerry, in mm-hmm. Massachusetts, of all places, until 1833. Nobody considered that to be a problem. Thomas Jefferson, who's often held up as the great proponent of separation of church and state, he gave $300 to the Kaskaskia Indians for the express purpose of building a Catholic church. You can't even have money for Catholic schools to get textbooks in the schools. And here is Jefferson giving money for a church. No, there's been a way, way overreaction, and it's built on militant secularism. And, you know, it's funny, too, about the public schools. I have right in front of me one of my staff members just gave it to me today. Brand new Gallup poll. Barely one quarter of Americans trust the public school system.
Wow.
Barely one quarter.
Wow.
Now, I mean, listen, there's the reason why there's a march away from the public schools, and it has to do with the lack of transparency and the kinds of things that are being done to sexually engineer the kids in the classroom with this madness of transgenderism. And then, of course, the critical race theory, which is basically a racist theory itself. If you're white, you are irredeemably racist. No, a lot of people are simply saying, listen, I may even be a liberal, but this is far left. This is crazy talk. And there is an exodus going on away from the public schools, and I hope that it continues.
Hmm. All right, and I'll get back to the schools in just a moment, but how about another quick comment about any of the other Supreme Court decisions of this most recent term, such as the football coach, abortion?
Well, of course, the big one was the Roe case. I mean, that was wrongly decided. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, people like Lawrence Tribe out of Harvard Law School, and many, many others, John Hart Ely out of Stanford, have said, listen, the New Republic, if we had to vote on abortion being legal or illegal, we vote for it to be legal. However, that decision should be made by the lawmakers, by the legislators in the states. It has never been the authority of the courts to make up a right and to go down that road. So, yeah, that was a decision that was badly made on legal principle, and, of course, it's offensive to Christians on moral and ethical grounds as well. In the case of the football coach in Bremerton High School out in Oregon, this Joseph Kennedy went along with the school when they said, you can't invite the kids to pray with you. He said, fine, I'll just take a knee and pray by myself. Some kids came over to him and they said, would you mind if we joined you? And he said, yeah, I guess so. He said, it's a free country. And for that, they fired him? They fired him because people voluntarily, after a game, decide that they want to have a little prayer? What are these people afraid of, Jerry?
Yeah.
Why are they so terrified?
Yeah.
What do they think is going to happen?
Yeah, that's a great point. And this brings us back to the subject of the schools. So let's talk about some of the school board meetings have been contentious in the last few months. But that's a good thing because it's like parents are beginning to realize, hey, this is not good what you're teaching my children.
That's right. I mean, COVID was a horror story, but there's one good thing that came out of it, and that is that parents got a chance to take a bird's eye view of what's happening in their kids' classroom, and what they saw they didn't like. They're asking for transparency, and the Biden administration is now trying to stop that. They call these people domestic terrorists at one point, and now they've set up some new administrative agency to kind of police this situation. You know, it's so funny, Jerry. I'm a guy who I'm celebrating a birthday today. I won't say exactly how old,
happy
but
birthday.
I can tell you this. I'm old enough to remember back the slogan of the 60s, power to the people. If there's one thing that the left doesn't want, is power to the people. They mean power to themselves to make decisions for the people. No, when the average man and woman, rank and file, non-political animal, find out what's going on. Now they have chat rooms online where you can learn how you can surreptitiously avoid having your parents know that you want to, quote, transition from one sex to another, which is impossible anyway. And it's degrading. It's child abuse, what's going on. I mean, we live in some very, very strange times where people actually think that the sexes are interchangeable and the like, and people walking around and calling themselves they. It's very important that the sane Americans, who are not the well-educated ones, basically in one sense, because the longer you stay in school, the more corrupt your thinking becomes in terms of common sense. I can say that because I have a PhD, and I worked with enough of these nutcases for a good part of my life. If you have common sense, you've got to trust your gut. Don't ever trust the guy who never left the Carroll, never left the library, and he went from sitting down as a student to standing up as a professor and never worked a real day in his life. Beware of these people. Many of them are just simply mad.
Didn't you used to be a college professor?
Yes, I was. Yes, yeah. 16 years. And I also spent 4 years teaching with black and Puerto Rican kids in a Catholic elementary school in Spanish Harlem. And with regard to the latter, I saw these kids can learn. Let me tell you something, Jerry. One of the great things one of the most awful things that's happening in this country today is that the people who claim to be championing their cause are the ones who are their biggest enemy. The elites in this country, the ruling class, has basically given up on African Americans. They're basically saying the only way that you can rise above where you're at is through our help, through some kind of paternalistic outreach. That is fundamentally racist. I saw how well the black and Puerto Rican kids could learn firsthand in the 1970s in a very dangerous neighborhood. So I didn't have to read a textbook about this. I saw it firsthand.
Okay, comment somewhat, since you're bringing up racism, drill down on critical race theory. What is the whole idea behind that? Does it have other names?
The people who are behind it, people like this fellow Kennedy and others, they would have you argue that America is irredeemably racist and we have to get white people to confess to their racism and to purge it from them. The idea that any person, because of the pigmentation of his skin, is automatically a racist, whether you be white, black, whatever color you want to choose, that in itself is racist. He's also said that the only way to correct past racial discrimination is to practice current and future racial discrimination. In other words, white people today who have had absolutely nothing to do with creating problems for black people, most of whom are dead, and the ones who created the problems are all dead, this is considered to be just. No, this is racism on steroids, and it's being done by people who claim to be countering racism. There's no greater racist theory than critical race theory. It's just that they have it backwards. The proponents of it are the racists, not the people whom they expect to change.
Is the critical race theory part of what's behind this ongoing assault against the founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, anybody that was even remotely closely connected to slavery or they owned a slave or whatever?
Oh, it's absolutely driving this. Back in 2017, I think it was Thanksgiving Eve, there was a hearing in New York City down at the City Hall area of all these educators and bureaucrats listening to people from New York who were complaining about removing statues, Columbus, for example, in Central Park and other places. And I went down there and testified. I don't have time to get into all of what I have to say, but I can tell you this. I've never seen such hatred. The Black Lives Matter people were there and others, and these people are fundamentally unreasonable. They seem to think that everybody in the past was a racist. In the late 18th century, when this country was founded, the only place in the entire world that did not have slavery was Western Europe. In the entire world, the people who won the war here could have declared themselves the new dictators. That's typically what happens, and every time, whenever you have a revolution, it's the ones who win turn out to be just as bad as the ones who were vanquished. So, no, instead they set up a system based on human nature. They had a proper understanding of human nature, that man was basically self-interested, and therefore if the natural tendency is to have more power. So what we have to do is to divide the government, pitting one branch of a government against another so as to kind of stop anyone from having too much power. They could have been just like the French did in the French Revolution, go out and kill everybody and lock people up, or what they did in Russia and China all over the place in later years. But no, this country is the freest country in the history in the world precisely because the founders did understand human nature, and they did have a Christian ethos, the Judeo-Christian ethos, which galvanized them. And we should be fortunate for that. And to listen to these little totalitarians today, which is what they are, tell us about who's right and who's wrong, it's enough to make me reach for the vomit bag.
Oh, and the battle over schools, how important is this for the future of the Republic? We have about a minute left.
Well, everything comes down to the kids, let's face it. And the thing is that the left, they don't have kids, okay? They're too busy aborting them or having sex with people of the same sex. So they resent the idea that parents have, correctly, the right control over their kids. They've always wanted to get their hands on the kids to get their mind control. A lot of this stuff is thought control. And they don't want the parents to have the right to educate their kid. This goes back to Plato, by the way. He believed that parents should not have the right to children. Now, in left-wing circles in the 20th century, it went even beyond that. Now, we live in very dangerous times, but the good news is this, Jerry. Because of what happened during COVID, parents did find out what's going on, and there's a new aggressiveness on the part of parents who were never politicized to insist on parental rights. And so on that score, I'm optimistic.
Okay, we have about 20 seconds left. Are you an optimist or a pessimist going beyond that issue?
Well, I've always been guardedly optimistic, but we have to get the average person to become. I don't like it when everybody gets too politicized. We've seen what that happened in history, but we can't allow the ruling class, which has adopted the philosophy of the left. And I'm talking about the people in the healthcare industry, the top echelons of the corporations and the military, not just in education, right, in the media, in the entertainment field, in the artistic community. We've got to get the regular common sense American to fight back.
All right, CatholicLeague.org for more information. Dr. Bill Donahue, thank you. Always a pleasure, Bill.
Thank you, Jerry. Keep up the good work.